As you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we're in chapter 5 this morning. As you're turning there, I just want to encourage you to look forward to our Resurrection Sunday and to be a part of that wonderful day that we can celebrate the truth, the reality, I believe the fact that Jesus is alive and he's risen again. And we want you to come and be a part of that. We're going to have a special time of, as you've already heard, Scott's encouragement there. And let me personally say, the cooks that are cooking breakfast that Sunday, they do a great job. I'm just telling you right now, okay? They're excellent. So we're thankful. So sign up, be a part of that time of fellowship, and then we're going to come and gather together as a congregation and celebrate our risen Lord. And we're looking forward to that day. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 11 through 21. We'll be keying in on basically one verse, verse 18 this morning. But as we gather together, I want to, for some of you, this may be new. And for some of you, this may be new because you didn't see it. And for some, you might remember it a little bit. But back in the day, as they say, back in the day, around 1975, if you were around then, back in the day, there was a group that had a top 10 hit. And it's kind of interesting, the name of this band. I would always like to go around and try to figure out what would be a great name for a band. You know, what would be a great name for a band? And we would try to think about that in college. And the bands that I was a part of that we named as a Christian band, you know, we had a band name called Advent. When I was in high school, we had a band name called His Glory. Band names, you know band names, you know. In the 60s, it was big. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. You know the band name and your favorite bug, the Beatles, right? The band names. You know, we know about the band names. Well, this band name was the name War. War, that was their name. And their biggest hit, I believe, was entitled Why Can't We Be Friends? Why can't we be friends? Now, what's exciting for me is who I relate to is the Muppets. And the Muppets, in 1979, featured an episode with John Denver. But the Muppets there, they did a parody on that song, Why Can't We Be Friends? And various Muppets sang it on the battlefield as they blow each other up. We see Frenchmen, we see Romans, there's Native Americans, there's hillbillies, there's even Germans doing some trench warfare while asking the musical question, why can't we be friends? It's quite a profound statement. In 1914, World War I soldiers on both sides, they called a truce, and they became friends until the officers ordered them to start shooting each other again. Why can't we be friends? In our society today, we probably immediately may think of the conflict with Ukraine and Russia. And maybe they are too scared to ask that question. They don't want to ask that question. Why can't we be friends? Max Lucado said, everything we need to have, be, or do is possible because of Christ's transforming power working within us. Let me read that again. Everything we need to have, be, or do is possible because of Christ's transforming power working within us. I believe in 2 Corinthians, it's this letter that Paul penned and wrote to these believers in Corinth who were doubting his credibility as an apostle and doubting him, and they were struggling and they were listening to others. And Paul writes to them and says, you are our living letters. I don't need to give you my credentials because God has worked in me and through me, and he has ministered to you the good news of Jesus Christ and has transformed and changed your life, and you are our testimony. And he goes on and says, I believe a wonderful verse for the whole book is verse 7 of chapter 4. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're just jars of clay, pots of mud, broken. But yet God in his mercy, in his love, in his grace reveals to us the good news of Jesus Christ. We receive Christ as our Savior and Lord. He comes into our life. He forgives us of our sins, cleanses us. He makes us totally, totally new. The old is gone. The new has come. And we're his child. And we now have this all-surpassing power. It's Christ's transforming power working within us. Sometimes I think, though, as we face the challenges of life and the challenges of relationships, we find that it's hard. It's difficult because we're relying on ourselves instead of the Savior. As I read this passage together, I discover there are several truths that God wants us to know about the ministry of reconciliation. So let's look at these verses together, beginning with verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your holy word this morning, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will speak to each of our hearts, those of us who are listening online, those of us who are here in locally in the congregation, Lord, that you will captivate our thoughts and captivate our thinking and captivate our minds, that we may hear what your Holy Spirit has for us. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to guide and direct and speak, and that Christ may be glorified. This we ask in his precious name. Amen. As we look in this passage, I find there are several truths regarding the ministry of reconciliation. And the first is that the ministry of reconciliation finds its source in God. Finds its source in God. Now, that's in verse 18. It says, all this is from God. All this is from God. And Paul is writing to this. He's writing to this whole idea that what God has done, given them new life in Christ, given him new life in Christ, given him this ministry of mercy, as chapter 4, verse 1 says, we have this ministry by the mercy of God. We don't lose heart then. We don't get discouraged. We don't get defeated. We don't get depressed. Why? Because God is the source. He's the source. The question we need to ask is, are you plugged in? Are you plugged in? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to live inside you? Yeah, I know there's some outlets there, but are you plugged in? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you? That's why Paul told the Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't become under the influence or the source of wine, intoxicated by it, but become under the influence, the source of the Holy Spirit. All this comes from God. Now, in this verse, we find this word reconcile, or to be reconciled, and the Greek word is katalasso, and it means to change, exchange, to reconcile, to be reconciled. And what does that mean? Well, we looked that up. That word reconcile means to win over to friendliness, cause to become friendly, and then to compose or settle a quarrel or dispute, to bring into agreement harmony, to make compatible, to be consistent. So Paul is saying that God is the source. He's the one. He's the one that makes it possible for us to be compatible with him, to be in friendship with him, to be in harmony with him. The Amplified Version says it this way, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. In other words, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God, personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. God is the one. He's the source. It was his idea to rescue us. He told Adam and Eve in the beginning in Genesis what would happen if they disobeyed. But God showed mercy, separated them, yes, kicked them out of the garden, yes. You may say, well, that's not merciful. Yes, it is, because God could have just ended their life and started all over. He showed mercy. God was upset. His wrath was kindled against the nation of Israel when they rebelled and made idols. And he wanted to make a new nation out of Moses, but he showed mercy in the midst of that. Showed mercy. God is desiring to bring people into a right relationship with him through Christ. Bring in agreement, harmony, make compatible, be consistent. Harmony with him. Now, for those of us who sing, we know what it's like to sing a melody, and you know what it's like to hear a beautiful harmony that supports that melody. And then there's some of us who know when it doesn't sound right, when the harmony isn't beautiful, when it's just plain awful. It hurts your ears. God, in his wonderful transforming power in Christ, makes you beautiful singers. Comes along and says, hey, you're going to support and we're going to bring everyone together in harmony, supporting one another. Agreement. Making compatible, you're finding and receiving the restoration of the favor of God. Wow. So the question is, am I plugged in? Am I plugged in to the source? The second truth we find here is the ministry of reconciliation was and is accomplished through Christ. The ministry of reconciliation was accomplished through Christ. It is accomplished in Christ. It says, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. God is the one who brings us to himself, and the wrath of God has been satisfied in full because Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for you and me, took upon himself your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world, that we could be restored in favor to God. Hallelujah. He canceled the debt, paid it in full. To reconcile. John 17, Jesus even prayed this in the garden. In verses 20 through 24, he says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You see, he was praying for himself. He was praying for his disciples that were with him. And then he prays for us believers. He says, for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. What is Jesus asking his Father to do? To make us one. To be reconciled to God the Father in Christ. But then because of that, we are reconciled with each other. Well, that doesn't mean, does it, Pastor? Does it mean that I have to agree, jot and tittle with my brother or sister who sits across the aisle? Because, you know, some Sundays I don't like the way they dress. No. But it means we're walking together, agreed. We're going in the same direction. What is that direction that we are walking in? We're walking in as the body of believers to bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. In everything I do, in everything I say, in everything I think, I'm bringing glory and honor to Jesus Christ. I'm walking in agreement. Yes, there are times when I'm frustrated. Yes, there are times when I'm maybe displeased. Yes, there are times when I may not agree with my brother and sister in Christ. But that is all secondary to the glory of Jesus Christ himself. I come under submission to him and his Holy Spirit working in my life so I can be one with him and one with each other. So if wearing blue jeans offends my brother and sister in Christ, as an example, I won't wear blue jeans. Or I'll go to my brother and sister in Christ and sit down with them and say, let's talk about it. But that's all secondary. That's even thirdary. That's not even primary. My love for Jesus and his church should outshine everything I do. I'm able to love one another because I love God first. What did Jesus say is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then out of that overflow, I'm able to love my neighbor as myself. I'm in a right relationship with God, so I'm able to love myself, but I'm also able to love others with his amazing love because I'm plugged in to the source. His Holy Spirit is living inside me, flowing in me. And if there's ever a day when we need to love one another with Christ's love, it is today. The Church of Jesus Christ does not need to be known as a political entity. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to be known as the bride of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. It's because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And we can't fathom it. But because of what he's done on the cross, we too can have this ministry of reconciliation. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Wow. Thirdly, I see that the ministry of reconciliation is God's gift to the church. Verse 18 and following, 19 says that God is the one who gave us this ministry, yes, of mercy, out of his mercy, but also this ministry of reconciliation. Wow, he's done a transforming work in my life and in my heart, and now he says, I want you to tell others about me. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. He didn't count people's sins against them. Matthew 20:28 says, "Be like the Son of Man." This is the New Life Version. "Be like the Son of Man. He did not come to be served. Instead, he came to serve others. He came to give his life as the price for setting many people free. For the Son of Man came not to be cared for. He came to care for others. He came to give his life so that many could be bought by his blood and made free from the punishment of sin." And then there's that phrase in chapter 5 in verse 19. There, the end of it, right before verse 20, it says, "And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation," or that God has given us the message of reconciliation. What is that message? You know the message. What is that message? He goes on in verse 20, and he starts saying a little bit about that message. He really preaches it. In the last part, "Be reconciled to God for our sake," verse 21, "for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The Lord has given to you and me, the church, the primary message of the gospel, to share the gospel with others. Well, does that mean I take my family altar Bible and put it under my arm and I go around people and I beat them on the head until they come and believe? Does it mean I go take all these gospel tracts and I just lay them everywhere I can so that they just can read it up, or, you know, just help fill up the garbage can? Do I do that? What does it mean? You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that light shining through. And as you rub shoulders with the darkness, his light shining in you will expose the darkness in their life. And they may react a little bit angry with you. They may say, "I don't want to be with you anymore because you're goody-two-shoe," or whatever. But you live by your example, your life. You are shining, rubbing off on the darkness. You're exposing the darkness. Yes, God will give you and prompt you and tell you, "Hey, now's the time. Tell them about me. Now's the time. Tell them how I answered prayer in your life. Now's the time. Give them that paraphrased version of scripture that you know. Now's the time." And that's when the Holy Spirit is saying to you, "Share me. Don't worry about what they're going to think of you. Don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about even the outcome. You be faithful in the telling of the message." Why? Because God is longing to reconcile the lost to himself. He has given us that gift to the church. And it's through Christ's blood that he bought you and me and made us free from the punishment of sin. Man, I want to tell the world then. We need to tell the world. We tell the world because God's love, Christ's love, compels us to tell the world. It's not my pride. It's not my giftedness. It's not how well others will think of me. No, it's because of Christ and God's amazing love. I see the ministry of reconciliation means this is wonderful. All of you have been promoted. You've been promoted. You've been promoted not only from sinner to saint, if you know Jesus this morning. You've been promoted to Christ's ambassador. You're his representative. The ministry of reconciliation means that believers represent Christ. Verse 20 again, it states there, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Or we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God's making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God, making his appeal as if it were through us. We represent Christ personally, and we are begging you as the ambassador for Christ, that you, for his sake, lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. So in other words, God wants you to be his representative in this world, his ambassador, as you go before others, that you share the good news of Jesus, that you tell the good news of Jesus, that you live in harmony with God Almighty, and you're able to shine and live the good news of Jesus. Paul the Apostle knew that firsthand. He says, we're Christ's ambassadors. We're representing him. We represented him before you, brothers and sisters in Corinth, as we planted this church. God got a hold of me as I was riding that donkey or horse into Damascus. And man, the light came down and Jesus said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And I didn't doubt that voice. I didn't blame it on the pizza that I ate the night before. No, I knew it was the Lord. I said, Lord. God did a redeeming work in the Apostle Paul's life. And now he says, hey, I am his ambassador. We who are in Christ, we are his representative. We are his ambassador. When I first went to high school in Terry Parker High, I was in Jacksonville, Florida. They had clubs. This was a high school of about 3,500 students, and they had clubs. And every club had a jersey. And they had, you know, their symbol on their jersey and a color on their jersey, and it was, you know, really cool. Now, a lot of clubs were known to be party clubs. Oh, if you're a part of that, you are, you know, they party that way, and you, or if you're a club of that, they party this way, and so forth. And there was the National Honor Society. I wasn't smart enough to be a part of that. But there were two Christian clubs on campus at that time, and they had jerseys. And all I wanted was a jersey, because I thought that'd be cool, because you could wear it on, you know, football day. Everybody would wear their club day, and they'd wear their jersey, and I wanted the jersey. So I joined both Christian clubs in order to get a jersey. Well, the one club didn't have a jersey. I was like, what am I going to do now? I'm going to leave that club. So I went to this other club. This other club had a jersey, you know. And so, man, what do you think's a manly color for a jersey? Red, black, like the Bucks, right? Well, this Christian club had a jersey. And it was, the name of the club was after the Greek word ichthus. Okay, it had the symbol of the fish that was on the jersey, which is really cool. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. That's what it stands for. And so I thought, man, this is going to be great. The color of the jersey was purple. Purple? I'm in high school, man. I want to be cool. Purple. Yeah. Well, I joined that club. I joined that club because I want to be part of the team. And everywhere I wore that jersey in school, everybody knew that I was part of that club. They knew, oh, that's a kid who is a church kid, or that's a guy that says he believes in Jesus, or that's whatever. It ended up in that high school club that I ended up being the chaplain for that club. And had to wear my purple jersey everywhere. God has done a wonderful work in the heart of mankind when Jesus has bought our salvation, paid the price in full, shed his blood so that we could be made holy, the righteousness of God. God is saying, I want you to receive my son, and I want you to believe in him and live for him, and you will become part of the family of God. And everywhere you go, you will shine for him. You will be able to tell others about what he has done in your life. God made him who had no sin to be sin for, verse 21, you could put your name there right where it says us, for me. So that in him I might become the righteousness of God. That is such a privilege to be able to represent Jesus Christ wherever I go. So often we think, man, I can't represent Jesus. I'm not good enough. You're absolutely right. I can't represent Jesus. I don't have the words to say, but the Holy Spirit in you will give you the words to say at the moment. I can't represent Jesus. Oh, yes, you can. He represented you. When? When he died on that cross, he represented you. He represented you. He took all your past sin, all your present sin, all your future sin, and paid it once and for all. So that you, think about this, you can become the righteousness of God. Clothed with the righteous robes of Jesus. What should that do in my heart? It should bring me to a place of humility. Humility. It should bring me to a place of adoration and worship. It should bring into me a place of thankfulness and gratefulness. And it should bring into my life that ability to tell others gladly and joyfully. Because all eternity is at stake. Romans 3:25 says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance or patience, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Charles Stanley says this, God has given to us the task of letting the world know what Jesus has done to make it possible for everyone who has faith in him to enjoy eternal life and an intimate relationship with the Father. God has called us as ministers of reconciliation to share his message and to represent him, knowing that Christ has accomplished the work and is accomplishing the work in us, enabling us, helping us, as we are plugged into the source, the Holy Spirit. So what is the Lord Jesus saying to you today? How can you apply his word to your life? How can you get plugged in? You say, well, something came along in my life, Pastor, and I got unplugged. Something came along and tripped me up, and I became unplugged. Something came along and, man, just shorted out the wires, and I just don't feel God's in my life anymore. I don't even have that desire to want to live for Jesus. May it never be. May it never be. So what's the solution? The solution is this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that disagreement that I had with a brother and sister over something that is secondary, thirdary, fourthary, fifthary, doesn't really matter, because the primary thing is, am I bringing glory and honor to Jesus Christ? Maybe I need to ask forgiveness. And don't allow the enemy to whisper in your heart if he's talking to you in this area and saying, well, I'm not going to ask forgiveness because they got to ask forgiveness to me first. They come to me, I'll come to them. No. Be like Jesus, who bore the brunt of it all, and you didn't even get to go and come to him because we weren't alive then. But we know because of the grace of the gospel, we can receive what Jesus has done for us, hallelujah, by faith. And he says, come. Come. He wants to make the dry bones alive again. Come. He wants to rescue the prodigal. Come. He wants to restore you to a place of favor. Come. Come. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Let's pray. Father, as we have been heard from your word, we thank you, oh God. Wow. That you loved us so much. Even while we were your enemies, while we even showed hatred, while we lived in our sin, you rescued us. You gave your one and only Son to die on the cross, to shed his blood so we could be made righteous. Father God, you accepted Christ's death, and it fulfilled that wrath that you had justifying all that you have done. You are holy. You are worthy of our praise. And we ask this morning, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts and that you will help us as your children to get plugged back into the source and to stay plugged in, that we may experience reconciliation with you, to be under your favor and your blessing. And then, Father, that you will empower us, these broken vessels, earthen jars, with the light of the gospel, that we will shine and share others the message that they too can be reconciled with you. And may your love compel us to do that. And we will give you all the praise and all the thanks in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.